A ring down from Love, the soft buzz of her phone, was the only sound breaking the quiet of the library. Nora glanced at the screen, her brows furrowing. It was an unknown number. Typically, she would have ignored it, especially while at work, but commodity made her swipe to answer. "Hello," she said vocally, her voice slightly louder than a tail. There was a pause on the other end. Also, a smooth voice replied, "Oh, sorry, I was trying to call client service. I suppose I telephoned the wrong number." Nora smiled a little. "That happens. Have a nice day." She was about to hang up when he said, "Stay, sorry, this might sound odd, but your voice just made my day." Her eyebrows shot up. "Excuse me?" I know. It's weird." The voice continued with a repentant chortle. "I've had a terrible morning. My coffee machine exploded, my auto broke down, and I was wedged talking to a grumpy hitch truck Joe. But hearing your voice, it felt calming. Familiar, indeed. Like I know you ever." Nora broke. Her logical mind told her to hang up, but there was commodity gentle, commodity sincere about the voice that made her stay. "Well, I'm glad I could buck up your day. Indeed, if it was by accident. Kai, can I ask your name?" he asked hesitantly. She dithered too, also replied, "Nora." "I'm Adam," he said. "However, I owe you a thank you, if nothing differently, for reminding me that the day still has some good left wing in it." And also, just like that, the call ended. That night, Nora lay awake, replaying the brief discussion in her mind. She wasn't the kind of person to get swept up by arbitrary hassles. She was practical, predicated, and frequently conservative to a fault. But that voice, Adam's voice, had dallied with her. She didn't anticipate to hear from him again. But she did. The coming day, as she belted her morning tea, her phone buzzed again. A known number. She dithered. Also picked up. "Hi," came the voice, warm, familiar. "It's Adam. Again, I promise I'm not stalking you. But I couldn't stop allowing about you." Nora laughed. "I suppose this qualifies as stalking." "Okay, fair. But I was wondering. Can I call you occasionally? Just to talk? No weird stuff, just connection. You know?" She should have said no. But rather, she said, "Just calls. Nothing more." "Just calls," he promised. And so began their nocturnal ritual. At 9 p.m. sharp, Nora's phone would buzz. Adam would be on the other end, always with some story to tell, about the misfortunes of his cat, Luna, or the terrible spaghetti he tried to make. He was fascinating, facetious, but further than that, he was kind, and he heeded. He asked about her favorite books, her fears, her nonage recollections, and he flashed back every detail. Nora set up herself staying for calls, looking forward to them, planning her gloamings around them. It was strange, falling for voice, but it was passing. One night, after a particularly long and exhausting day, Nora answered the phone with a shriek. "Rough day?" Adam asked gently. "The worst," she grunted. "I revealed coffee on a rare book. My director was furious." "I'm sorry. Want to talk about it?" She did, and he heeded. And when she was done, he simply said, "You're inconceivable, you know that. Anyone who talks about books the way you do has magic in them." Nora smiled through the frazzle. "You're too sweet. I'm being honest." There was a pause. "Nora," Adam said vocally, "I suppose I'm falling for you." Her breath caught. "I know we've no way met, and perhaps that's crazy, but I feel closer to you than I've to anyone in times." Her heart pounded in her casket. "Adam, you don't have to say anything. I just wanted you to know." That night, Nora slightly slept out a voice that feels like home the coming evening. Nora didn't stay for the phone to ring. She called him. "Hey," Adam answered incontinently, his voice breathless, like he'd run to snare the phone. "I beat you to it this time," she said, her lips curving into a smile. "I was just about to call. You read my mind." Silence filled the space between them. Not awkward, just warm, comfortable, like a familiar mask on a cold night. Nora eventually broke the silence. "What you said last night, I meant every word." "I've been allowing about it," she said vocally. "I don't know if this is love, Adam. We've no way indeed seen each other, but I feel commodity, and it's real. His breath caught. Also, let's not rush it. Let's just keep calling. Keep talking. Keep falling. And they did. Weeks passed. Summer melted into early fall. The nocturnal calls continued like clockwork. Some were short and silly. Others stretched for hours, filled with horse laugh and participated admissions. Nora learned that Adam was a freelance shooter who lived in a small apartment above a flower shop town. He traveled frequently, which made their routine all the more special, a constant in an ever-changing world. He, in turn, learned about her nonage spent in foster care, her love of poetry, and her dream of one day retaining a bookstore cafe with walls lined in secondary novels. They participated their dreams, fears, and everything in between. And still, they hadn't met. Why didn't we just see each other? Nora asked one night. There was a pause. I want to, Adam said. Further than anything. But I'm spooked. Of what? That the magic will evaporate formally we do. That the interpretation of me in your head is better than the real bone. Perhaps the interpretation of you in my head is ent perfect, she said still. But I want the real bone. He didn't respond right down. Also eventually, okay, let's match. They chose a Sunday autumn. A quiet cafe on the edge of the megacity, half between their homes. Nora was nervous. Her hands quivered as she held her coffee mug. She'd worn her favorite soft green dress, her hair put away behind her cognizance. She arrived beforehand and sat at the corner table by the window. Twinkles ticked by. Also, the door opened, and he walked by. Adam was higher than she imagined, dark-haired, with kind eyes and a smile that bloomed sluggishly, like a shy daylight. He looked nervous, too. His hands gripped at his sides, his aspect surveying the room until it landed on her. For a moment, they simply goggled at each other. Also, he walked over and rumored, "You're indeed more beautiful than your voice." Nora laughed, gashes surcharging her eyes. "You showed up." "I nearly didn't. I was alarmed." "Me too. But also I allowed, I say, and let fear steal this from me." He sat down. They looked at each other, beaming like fools. "I feel like I formally know you," she said. "That's because you do." And they talked, face to face this time, but just like always, the magic didn't evaporate. Still, it grew, if anything. In the weeks that followed, their connection strengthened. They still called each other at night. Indeed, though, they had begun spending real time together. Walks in the Domain. Late night ramen. Weekend movie marathons on a settee. But it was the calls that remained sacred. "I still want to hear your voice before I sleep," Adam said one evening, lying beside her, phone in hand despite being elevation down. "Same then," she rumored, roaring. "Love, it sounded, didn't need rules. It just demanded heart." One night, under a sky bruised with stars, Adam turned to her. "You flash back the day I first called you?" "Of course," she said, smiling. "The wrong number." Perhaps it wasn't wrong. Perhaps it was exactly right. He reached into his fund and pulled out a small ring, delicate tableware, with a bitsy book-shaped charm. Nora heaved. "I know we met in the strangest way," he said, "but I've no way been more sure of anything. Nora, will you keep calling me for the rest of our lives?" Her eyes filled with gashes. "Only if you promise to always pick up." Ever in every ring the weeks after Adam's offer passed in a blur of joy, jitters, and quiet moments that felt like home. They didn't rush into marriage planning. Rather, they decided to savor their engagement, to continue living their love the way it had started simply, one call at a time, every evening. Indeed, if they had just spent the day together, Adam still called Nora. Occasionally the calls were sportful. Other times, they were quiet, full of participated breaths and the comfort of presence. It was end about what was said. It was about being there. Their story, a love born from a wrong number. Snappily came a favorite tale among musketeers and non-natives likewise. Nora's associates teased her playfully at the library. "So now we should just all start answering wrong figures, huh?" One of her musketeers joked. Nora smiled vocally. "Only if you believe in fate." One evening, sitting together on Nora's small deck, They participated in a moment of silence, watching the evening stretch across the sky like a brushstroke of fire and gold. Adam turned to her. "Do you ever wonder what would have happened if you hadn't picked up?" She looked at him, thoughtful, "All the time. And I suppose I would have still set up you. Ever. Some way." He beamed. "You believe that?" "I do," she said. "Some people are meant to find each other, whether it's through a crowded road, a library aisle, or a wrong number. Love always finds a way." The marriage was small, intimate, held in a theater girdled by wildflowers and eye-blink lights. Nora wore a stretch-lace dress, simple and elegant. Adam wore a watercolor suit, his tie just a little crooked, the way she liked it. As they changed promises, Adam smiled and said, "From the moment you answered my call, my life changed. I didn't know your name, your face, your story, but I felt your heart." Nora's voice quivered as she replied, "And I fell for a voice, for the way you saw me without indeed seeing me, for every word, every silence, every ring that pulled me closer." When they kissed, it was at the end of the story. It was the morning. Epilogue A call, the flashback times passed. They erected a life filled with books, horse laugh, quiet feasts, and phone calls always a calls. Indeed, when they were in the same house, Adam would still occasionally call her from another room just to say, "I love you," and Nora would always answer. One evening, long after their hair had grayed and the wrinkles had settled in like gentle recollections, Adam sat beside Nora on their old veranda swing. He held her hand and rumored, "Thank you for answering." She leaned her head on his shoulder and rumored back, "Thank you for calling." Because some stories do end start with fireworks. Some begin with a ring and last continuance.